time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, Ross Dellinger, and SI's Pat Forte. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, the emergency pod. This is part two of what we did on Wednesday. So don't miss part one just because this came up in your feed first. You're just checking. Go back to part one. This is part two.
This is going to be like part Lord of the one. Rings. We're going to be back on here at midnight. This is part seven.
Fast and the Four Furious 10.
That's right.
This time we're going to really drive fast. You don't want to miss part one. I accuse Pat of getting emotional about conference realignment. Then I get emotional about conference.
Both those things happen. Both those things happen.
And then Ross and I and Sean accused the Chinese zoo of having a very small bear dressed as a man. And Pat shows us that. Anyway, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Okay. But this is what we're going to avoid, the cry room, the safe space today. We thought we were done for the week on the pod. And then the big dog decided to wake up in conference realignment. The big dog's looking to eat. And we'll get to Florida State's unhinged rant also. That's comedy.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Anyway, here we are, like 11 hours after our last pod. But that's the kind of day it was. Real MVP here is Sean Anderson, our producer. Let's, a little nod of respect for that.
Heroic.
Good job. All right. The Big Ten. 16 teams starting in 14 now, 16 next year with USC and UCLA. A four president group, subgroup of four presidents have met. They're having early preliminary exploratory discussions about taking the league to 18 teams in 2024 or even 20. They're like a buzzard circling the potential carcass of the Pac-12, looking for good old chunks of meat to haul off back to Chicago. And the carcass of those parts of the Pac-12 will be quite happy with that. If they go to 18, the two schools are Oregon and Washington. Those, they make the most sense competitively in terms of TV money and all of that. If they go further and go to 20, they'll add Cal and Stanford and take the entire West Coast for the Big Ten. The Big Ten is about to buy the West Coast. It's not a master plan because there's two different commissioners and all that. But in brilliant business fashion, they went in and got USC and UCLA, pulled a big old hunk of this Jenga tower out, destabilized it all. Lo and behold, a bad TV media deal came in, and now they may grab the other four, and they may have a six-team West Coast flank to the Big Ten, which is now the Big 20, although they'll keep calling themselves the Big Ten. That is where we're at. This is a presidential subgroup. This is not some associate commissioner working on a white paper. So if this is going to get done, it can get done very, very quickly. Nothing is done yet. These are the people who would decide it. It's real. They may stay at 16. They may quite honestly be at 20. They may be waiting to see if Arizona will jump or anyone else will jump. Arizona State and Utah jump to the Big 12, and then they can feel a little better about themselves that they didn't really kill the Pac-12, although they really did. Anyway, that's where we're at. Pat, your thoughts. Or other details. Yeah, I think you have some other details too.
Yeah. Well, first, my general thought that, like, if you enjoy the shows like in Africa where there's a wildebeest in a pond getting mauled to death by a group of lions, that's what this is like, watching the Pac-12 being ganged up on and savagely ripped to shreds. That's how enjoyable I'm finding this. The additional information. Yeah, that if it's that there will be a proposal quickly for Washington and Oregon. What exactly the proposal is and whether it's accepted is unknown.
But accepted by who?
By either side.
The president. Yeah. The
presidents of the Big Ten, or whatever the presidents of the Big Ten put in front of Oregon and Washington, whether it's accepted by them. But there will be a proposal quickly. I think that the Fox would champion this, maybe the other media partners as well, as a good development, seeing that, look, if Oregon and Washington are going to be on the street and available and you can get them at a discounted share, do it. 18 teams would be a nightmare, frankly, to administer, to schedule, to organize. But I think all of that is secondary to how much money can we make. And this is a chance to bring in more schools, further expand your reach, your domain, your dominance, and do it without having to pay them as much as you're going to pay USC and UCLA. So I think, again, I was told this would be a fast pace. What exactly does that mean? 48 hours, 72 hours, early next week? I don't know, but the momentum is certainly there to strongly consider Oregon and Washington.
At what percent discount rate? So they would not get a full $50 to $65 million share each year?
Presumably. You know, and I can't say that's absolutely the case, but that's the inclination, is that they would come in at something less and be ramped up at some point in time, perhaps by the time the next media deal is done, they would be getting a full share.
Yeah, surely the other Big Ten schools are not taking a haircut, right? Like, they're not taking a trim off. They're already taking the haircut based on some promises that the last commissioner made, right, as part of the TV deal. So they're already taking a little bit of a haircut in a distribution. I'm sure they don't want to take more to add two or four more schools, which they'll have to travel to and spend more. So you would think there's no way that these teams are getting a full share, but then where does it come from, right? I wonder if do you get a fourth TV broadcasting entity to take a fourth package. I'd guess that would be the most practical type of setup. I'm sure the Big Ten would like that, and there was rumors of that, you know, last fall and winter. Remember, there was rumors of the Big Ten trying to coax ESPN back to the table for a fourth package to do exactly this, right? Yes. They were, these four schools, especially the two, have been on the Big Ten list since kind of Kevin Warren made his expansion list back probably last year. And now it was so predictable to kind of see this. This was the doomsday scenario for the Pac-12, is that so many teams would leave for the Big 12, maybe two, maybe four, that it would open the door for the Big Ten to take two or four more at a discounted rate. And it is unfolding exactly like many might have predicted.
All right, so $50 to $65 million or so is what a share of Big Ten media is going to be, I think. It's going to grow. If you're getting 70%, you're making 35 to 42 million, I think, if my off the top of my head math is correct, something like that. That's still higher than the Big 12. Long term potential, it is much higher than what we're expecting. The Pac-12 deal, which is low 20s or something like that, you also will get it. Yeah. So their value here for these guys is the additional fourth window, right? It's the Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah,
possibility of getting to play some games out there. What's that worth to ESPN or, I guess, FS1 or something like that? They could put them on there. I don't know. It's on Fox, but how much does that add to it? All right, Pat, you are hearing 18 is going to be the limit, or is there 20?
Not necessarily. No, okay. I mean, I think that I think there are presidents that want 20. I'm not sure the TV people want 20.
The TV people, I don't believe, do.
Yeah. The question is, okay, Who's actually in charge? You know who's been in charge? The TV people.
Yeah.
Is that going to hold sway? Is that going to hold sway here? I don't know. But, you know, one other thing is there is a lot of presidential flux within the Big Ten and at Stanford, one of the potential 19th or 20th, right? Stanford just forced out their president in a scandal over his science research. Ohio State does not have a president at the moment. Northwestern's president has kind of co-opted himself into a bit of an issue over the hazing situation.
And he's from Oregon.
Yeah, right. He's from Oregon. Wisconsin's president's been on the job less than 4 months. There's a lot of flux there in terms of who's making the calls on this. Who are they? How important are they? Tony Petitti hadn't been on the job very long as the commissioner. What does he want? He's a former TV guy. He's a former network executive. But I don't know who's making the decisions, and I don't know really like where the juice lies in the room.
We talk about TV people speaking about the Big Ten and how many they want. How about TV people in the Big 12? I get the sense that right, the Fox and ESPNs in the Big 12 don't necessarily want to pay for two more, Arizona State and potentially Utah, if we're penciling in Arizona making that move. And that's why I think you saw over the last few days, maybe late last week or over the weekend, you know, the messaging kind of from Big 12 camp. Oh, we're good with 14. We're good with 14. Well, yeah, I think part of that is, right, the TV networks saying we really don't want to pay for two more. And I'm not sure those two more would even get a full share. Probably unlikely. So that's something to watch. And that could be the thing that actually preserves the Pac-12. 12, right? What if they just lost Arizona, kept Arizona State in Utah, that leaves them at 8, grab 2 expansion teams, back to 10, later on maybe 2 more. You can patch together something and the Big Ten kind of stands down. That's about the only way I can see the Pac-12 surviving. And I feel like I give that a, you know, we talked about it off air, but 30-ish% chance, maybe.
There's definitely a path there. No, you're absolutely right. So we'll try to organize this because this is a really obviously this story has so many tentacles and hits so many schools. ESPN's deal with the Big 12, and is it Fox and ESPN are on the Big 12? So you bring in Colorado, they're just going to prorate, add another 31. If you add a Pac-5 team, a Power 5 team, I mean.
Power 5.
You get another 31, and then another 31 for Arizona, and then another 30. Well, hold on, ESPN is not, and they're still making a lot of money, but their revenue, their profit is down. Fox is right. It's not a great time in the media industry, so they're not sitting there going, "Wait, all of a sudden we add Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah, and we are out another $124 million a year." Like, are we making that back? So, yes, there is a way that this could actually be stopped and preserved. And part of it is the media companies are kind of broke, kind of. Or the value really isn't that much greater. TV, and the reason these things happen, is TV executives want as many big brands playing each other so they can get. They're really focused on the number of 4 million viewer games, then 8 million viewer plus games, and then the rare 10 million plus, which is usually a couple a year. And that's what they care about. They don't really care about anything else. They don't care. These other games are just filler. But how many times can we get that big game? That's why they sit there and go, we can get USC to play in the Big Ten. We could get 2 or 3 of the 4, 8, maybe even a 10 million game. If we can get Oregon, you know, Oregon's in Columbus, that's a big game or whatever it is. We had Ohio State playing Oregon at primetime. We're going to get a really nice number. So that's all their focus is. That's all TV wants. And that's why Oregon and Washington are going. I'll get to Cal and Stanford, what they bring in a sec. But let me ask this, Pat, and I don't really have the answer. Why 1 year later, now it's like, I mean, a year ago, it's like, oh no, 16, 16, 16, even really until even last week, 16, 16. And then I was just like, oh yeah, maybe 18, 20. Like what happened?
Yeah. I honestly think it's, well, they became available. And as it was somebody at Big Ten Media Day put it to me that we may end up, let me get the exact quote so that I'm not just speaking erroneously here, but
leave the erroneous speaking to me.
we all cover our erroneous ground. We're happy. This is for speaking from a Big Ten perspective. We're happy where we are, but we always have to be ready to react. If the Pac-12 falls apart, we might find ourselves considering moves we don't really want to make, depending on what other leagues are doing. And the feeling may be, look, somebody's going to get Oregon and Washington. They want to come to us. They're willing to probably cut a deal with us that's to our advantage. So we'll do it. You know, that I think is where things change. Is, you know, last week at this time is like, wow, is Colorado really going to do this? And then, yes, Colorado really did it. And now there's a good chance that Arizona does something. And then does the whole league fracture? And so if it's going to fracture, I think the Big Ten is sitting there saying, we'll go higher if we can get it on terms that we like.
All right. Cal and Stanford. And this is the part that I think infuriates fans or confuses fans, and it confuses all of us. What's the criteria here, right? So you say, all right, we're adding, I mean, I think like people get it. Oh, you're adding USC, I get it. Or you're adding Oregon, I get it. Cal and Stanford, neither football program has been good lately. Harbaugh, some days at David Shaw, Stanford was good, but this is not a powerhouse program. They're not have a ton of fans. They not command a lot of attention out in the Bay Area. Stanford has for good reason, has a lot of swim team fans, of course, Pat. We know that. But other than that, this is not a powerhouse. This is the president's want. They love Cal and Stanford because they're elite institutions. All four of these are so-called AAU program schools or whatever. But Cal, Berkeley, and these are top-line schools, you know, research institutions, everything. This is what the academics want to be associated with. They also allow the Big Ten to play in the Bay Area, to be associated with the Bay Area, where there are tons of alums, tech companies, you know, cutting edge companies, same with Seattle, really, in Portland, but definitely the Bay Area, and lots of students, potential students, just normal students who might have the means or the interest of going to Big Ten schools. So they're looking at it as an institutional thing, not so much athletically. I also think there's something in it for some of the lower level football programs that don't really need two more programs coming in to beat them down. Like if you're sitting around and go, you're Michigan State going, all right, I like that. We can go out to San Francisco. We might be able, we're going to beat these guys. I don't need Clemson. Right. Like that's not going to help me. That's just another team I got to get through. So there's more to it. Sometimes it's all about TV and markets, and sometimes it's about something else. Now, the presidents have got to get this done and tell Fox, hey, we want Cal and Stanford for all these reasons. You're just going to have to take them. And the question is whether the Big Ten has that juice to push Fox around, NBC and CBS. They have all of those. And by adding two more West Coast programs, you really add value to that fourth window, the late night game. Am I generally correct on all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think you laid it out pretty clearly. It's that's the attraction of those schools. Silicon Valley, elite academics, elite students, elite potential people coming, paying out-of-state tuition to go to your schools. And then the question is, yes, can you make that enough of an argument to win the day as opposed to everybody looking saying nobody cares about their athletics?
Proximity to 701 First Avenue in Sunnyvale, home of the Yahoo World Headquarters. I know this, like the University of Michigan, I think this year, the incoming class, obviously kids from Michigan is the number one place where students come from. But I think number two is going to be California, or is California. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, there's lots of people in California. So to just control that West Coast would have value. But it doesn't help your TV and all that, and we'll see who's going to run this thing. Ross, anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay,
you got it. You got it, man.
If you're the Big Ten, would you go 18 or would you go 20?
I go 18, but I mean, I go 18. I think already 18 is too big. for a conference, but certainly 20 is. And then the value of understand the academic value and the attractiveness to with the like you mentioned, the Bay Area in the academics and in the presidents. You know, the presidents are the one that make are the ones that make these decisions. So I know they look at the academic nature of things. So I get that part, but I think that 18 is good, and I get why they're interested in Washington and Oregon because they could be out there at a really right low price at a discount, so to speak. So I get that, but I think I would stop at 18. I kind of think the ideal number for a conference is 12 to 14. You know, but we've gone well past that now.
That's the rumor. Once you have broken the model, I mean, just how you can just keep breaking it, right? I guess.
How big is too big?
Right. I would. Here's what I would do. I would go 18. I would add Oregon and Washington. Nike isn't getting left out of this carousel. So you bring in Oregon and Washington with good brands, and then what you do is. Cal and Stanford ain't going anywhere. You could still get them, but I would wait and see, and we're going to get to Florida State. If Vesuvius erupts on the Atlantic coast, then you can try to go get the two you really want over there, which is North Carolina and Virginia. You'd rather have them than you would have than Cal and Stanford. You don't get quite the academic excellence, but close enough, and you get new areas of the country, new markets. And you add some broad-based athletic programs.
Yeah. All right. How about this? Now, this is actually a real thing, and I know maybe you guys heard this today. Like the Big Ten does not want to be seen as predatory. They don't want to be the ones to crush and kill the Pac-12. This is comical.
It's typical college athletics. We pretend to what we don't want. You know, it's all we're worried about our image, so we're just going to lie. But, yeah, no, they're going to crush and kill the Pac-12 if they can.
Are they believing this? They took USC and UCLA.
Yeah.
And then 1 year later went, wow, I guess the TV, the media money isn't as big now that they don't have Los Angeles. Who could have seen that coming?
Shocker.
Hey, at least the Big 12's like, we're going to gut you.
Right. Yeah. Big 12, not faking it at least.
Brett Yormark's not looking around going, well, I'm sorry to tread on your toe.
Yeah. Brett Yormark said, I'll show you what happens when you miscalculate the market and just start effing mowing people down. That's what it seems like. Yeah. It's funny because it seems like Tony Petitti and the Big Ten in general, right, don't want to kill a conference, don't want to be the reason that a Power Five league that's been around for whatever, over 100 years, right, is dead. When Brett Yormark in the Big 12 seem like they're perfectly fine with holding the smoking gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they would probably prefer to have Arizona and or Arizona State and or Utah leave. And then they're like, and then the Big Ten's like, well, you know, now that's happened. I mean, the Big Ten.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
But the only reason they're leaving is because you took the first ones.
Like, of course.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
The Big Ten. Yes. Okay. Your mark in the Big 12 is like a prison shanking, right? That's just straight up.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is like playing polo and they're like having their little hammer graze the guy sort of by accident, killing him that way. You killed the Pac-12, Big Ten. We know it. Yeah. And even if this thing survives, it's just how many circles around the drain do we got left on this conference? All right.
These are the same people that say our biggest concern is student athlete welfare, which is why we're sending UCLA to Rutgers to play sports. Student athlete welfare. Sure. So when you if those people can say that, then sure they can say we don't want to kill the Pac-12, but they're absolutely killing the Pac-12.
I got some crap today from Charlie Baker from the NCAA about, you know, and tampering and the the playing field of college sports and the traditions have been forever altered by he's moaning on about the same thing. While every single person in the sport is calling each other tampering, screwing each other over, backdoor deals, lying to each other. It's a den of thieves.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of that, it was a newsy day in the NCAA legislative world as well, right? They now everything was pretty much expected, but they released their internal business report review, which I don't think had was super newsworthy, but they did release the Plan B of NIL that we discussed for the last couple weeks on the show. They're going to create an agent registry, I think. They're going to create kind of an NIL database, and they're going to have some, I guess, contracts that are all uniform, yeah. Have a uniform type of contract. So all the things we discussed, I think.
Do they have a database Do they have a database for the media consultants who are talking to the Big Ten? And is there a database on that? Because this is what's effing with the sport a lot more than, poor Jaden Rashada. Oh, poor Jaden Rashada.
Dan, I detect a little sarcasm in your tone. Tone, Dan, tone. And then the third thing the NCAA did was, and this is positive, they're going to pay for, I think, 2 years of post-college health care for all athletes in D1, D2, D3. Now, most athletes in D1, certainly in the FBS, and definitely in the Power 5, right, get at least 2 years, if not four, years of postgraduate health care covered. And this is a way for the NCAA to, one, do probably something they should have done a long time ago, right, for athlete health welfare, but also to curry favor to lawmakers, right? This is health care is the single biggest dividing factor, or was at least 2 years ago, in an NIL legislation, right? Democrats want long-term health care covered for athletes. And Republicans want a more narrow NIL bill without a lot of health care. Now, they're starting to come together on that. You've seen bills like Tommy Tuberville and Joe Manchin's, Republicans, conservative-leaning, but does have health care. So it's the big piece in all the NIL legislation is long-term health care. So this move by the NCAA certainly, I'm sure, had that in mind.
Yeah, that's great. That's a sweet story. All right. How you feel if you're a Washington State fan right now? How do you feel if you're an Oregon State? What happens to these guys, Pat?
I would be excited in a way. Hold on, listen.
Win the Mountain West?
Hear me out. Yeah, hear me out. If the playoff, which is a whole other discussion, right? The CFP stays the same format, which it might have some tweaks, right? Given the Power Five, missing a Power Five league completely. But if you're Oregon State, Washington State, you have better route to the playoff where there's at least one, if not two, group of five champions getting in. I mean, I think it's in resource level for Washington State. I think Washington State was the lowest resource Power Five team. So in a lot of ways, it makes a lot of sense.
I agree. You can win. I told all these guys, lock that damn thing in when it was offered. Guess who didn't? Pac-12.
No, they didn't.
Chance of locking those six in long term. What'd you do, Pac-12? No, not us. Just like the Big East, how they doing? You ever heard of them play football anymore? Nope. Just like the Big 12. You take that deal. Screamed it a million times. They all have, oh, no, nothing will happen here. We got the alliance. Yeah, sure. Idiots. They're just idiots. Pat, what do you think is going to happen? What do you tell an Oregon State and Washington State fan?
I mean, you're dooming them to second-class citizenship. You know, I mean, yes, you can still win a Mountain West and get into the playoff, but...
For now.
The
six automatic bids, just to be clear, will be applicable for the 2024 season and the 2025 season. And after that, they will rewrite the entire contract because nobody would agree.
They can, right? Yeah.
They can because no one would agree to the long-term deal when it was offered because they all can't see past the echo chamber. And they, who knows what they're, the sanctity of the Rose Bowl. Okay, congratulations. You no longer have a conference.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's still a Rose Bowl, but there's no Pac-12 going to it.
Right? So in 2026, the Big Ten and the SEC can basically say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have four automatic bids. We're going to have three automatic. They can do whatever they want because what are the other guys going to do?
Exactly.
The Big Ten and the SEC could just say, we're having our own playoff. So they'll probably go and say, we're going to have four automatic bids or maybe five. You're going to lose your chance. Take the deal. They should have taken the deal. Anyway, I was right then. They didn't do it. They never do it. They find themselves in these pickles. But what do you, I mean, so they can go to the Mountain West. Is this, I mean, I don't know. Or is it better to be the best resource and built up? Oregon State's building like a brand new, big, beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell of a facility for the Mountain West.
Right. But I know. I mean, in a small, narrow way, yes. Okay. You go from struggling in, you know, the bottom third of resources of the Pac-12 to the top of the Mountain West. I still don't think anybody wants to be in the Mountain West. Nobody chooses to be in the Mountain West unless you're already stuck there. San Diego State couldn't wait to get out. But how about poor San Diego State? They may not even have a place to go anymore.
And they pissed off the guy that they are already with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They pissed off the Mountain West. Man, they've on a roller coaster. They were so close.
Oh, my gosh. So close.
So close.
But anyway, no, I mean, I just, you still, you lose a lot. You lose the, what you can sell in recruiting. Hey, you're playing in one of the top conferences. You've got that chance. You lose, quite likely, the chance to schedule Oregon or Washington, you know, and at the end of the year, if you're Washington State and you want nothing more than a shot at those arrogant SOBs from Seattle to show them what Wazoo is about, no, you're going to go play New Mexico in your game at the end of the year. Congratulations. That'll be fun. And if you're Washington, hey, we just moved into the Big Ten. Well, you know what? Enjoy your fifth trip of the season east and your season ender in College Park, Maryland. Should be great. Should be a lot of fun for the fans. I hate it. All of it.
I know. It's bad for those schools. You can win, and you do have that, but the appeal of those schools is they can tell students, hey, come here, we play big-time college sports.
Yeah.
And it's hard to do when you're selling the Mountain West. It's just, it's good, nice league, but Fresno State isn't USC.
Nope.
Well, I was thinking I think we talked about this morning is, you know, a long time ago, right? We lost the true definition of a conference, geographic and cultural, like-minded schools, rivalries, and like the only leagues, at least in FBS, that are going to be still true conferences are the MAC and maybe the new Sun Belt. You know, even the SEC, which is, and Greg Sankey likes to say it, contiguous 12 footprint. But, I mean, it's still 12 states. It's still a long drive in flight from Oklahoma to Florida. Like, the MAC and the Sun Belt, power to you.
SEC's pretty good, though. That's pretty close.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's
it
diversity is. In there. I mean, like, there's a difference between Austin and...
Well,
I don't know, Gainesville. Yeah, but
I mean,
I will say the SEC has done a good job with it. The Big Ten is it's a piece mark. It's like someone who built a house and like they had some money, they built part of a house, then they had the addition, and they put that one in a different style of architecture. Now they're doing like, you know, we added Rutgers because they'll get us basic cable subscribers for our network. Well, nobody does that anymore, but you're still stuck with that addition.
Yeah, that's your colonial addition on your fresco house there.
Yeah, this is kind of where are we at? This thing's just a mess. Sea to shining sea, but it's gonna make money because it's got good location. It's making a ton of money because the core of the house is what's making all the money. Still got Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, and all of that. Oh my gosh. All right. I don't know what's good there. I mean, I guess it's just the question too is does the Mountain West take Oregon State? Let's say everybody leaves but Oregon State and Washington State. Does the Mountain West take them? Or do they say, hey, we'll invite eight of you guys over to us because the Pac-12 is a better name?
Yeah, sure. I mean, why not? I don't know if they I don't know what it takes to actually literally kill a conference. Does everyone have to leave, or can, if you got two teams left, can they reconstitute the conference?
Stab it in the heart with a wooden stick, Pat. Yeah. And Brett Yormark is right there with it, with the stick. Yeah. He's right there with the stick. He's got it. He's got it. So,
have we talked about the Noles enough and what happened there today?
Let's get to it.
Let's get to that.
Florida State is just pissed off.
Perfect ending to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are chapped. I don't know. Okay. They're not happy with the ACC because they're getting equal revenue. I don't know if they started believing all those made up reports that the Big Ten was about to add them. And then when it didn't happen, they got really angry today. I don't know if this was scheduled. I don't know, whatever. They had a meeting of the Board of Trustees. But here's FSU President Rick McCullough. I believe that FSU will have to, at some point, consider very seriously leaving the ACC unless there is a radical change to the revenue distribution. They want more money than Boston College and stuff like that. They want extra dough to catch up. Can't fall more than $30 million behind the Big Ten and SEC per year deals. It frustrates them because we are one of the best media-valued teams in the United States. We, along with Clemson and others, help carry the value of media rights in the ACC. No offense to my colleagues. That's just the numbers. I think they'd be offended. It's an existential crisis.
Yeah, I think they would be offended, yeah.
Anytime you say no offense, something's coming that's offended.
Then you're probably going to offend somebody. That's right.
But really, what are you going to say? Existential crisis. Always, that's a college administrator bingo. FSU trustee Drew Weatherford, a former quarterback. It's not a matter of if we leave the ACC, in my opinion. It's a matter of how and when we leave. Not everyone may agree with that, but I feel very strongly about it. Trustee Justin Roth said he likened staying in the ACC to death by 1,000 cuts. Every cut is a $30 million cut. ACC will be a third-rate media conference coming. These quotes are from The Athletic. All of that stuff. Trustee Deborah Sargent, we have to believe in ourselves and what we have if this is a game of chicken. All of that. Okay, great. You guys want more money or you want out of your deal that runs to 2036? Right now, you signed over your media rights to the ACC. So if Florida State even could leave, they would join a league that could make no money. If they could sign $100 million a game, a deal, and all $100 million would go to the ACC. They don't own their rights. So, thoughts on this temper tantrum? Great quotes, but what does it mean, Pat?
I mean, it's probably posturing / negotiating to A, accelerate the new uneven revenue plan, and B, perhaps even skew it further in their direction. But this, like, if I'm in the ACC, I would be so furious, so offended at this just public assault upon the league by a school that, frankly, all right, hadn't won the league since what, 2014? Coming up on nearly a decade and has flat out sucked for most of the last 5 years. And all of a sudden they're out there, not just, I mean, just absolutely declaring secession. I would, if I'm one of the other schools in that league, I would just be, or Jim Phillips, the commissioner, I would be furious with Florida State with this ridiculous power play. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? They, you know, they're rattling their saber. Yeah, we're not worried about the grant of rights. Well, everybody else has been. You, if you're that smart and you've figured it out, good luck to you. But if I'm the ACC, I say, hey, we'll see you in court on that one, brother.
Let me paint a picture for everybody. You're at the beach. This is at the beach. Two beautiful women sitting beneath an umbrella, sunbathing. And this dude comes walking up
and he's strutting around and he gets in front of the ladies and he's taking off his shirt and he's oiling up and he's bending down. He's giving a look at the ladies. He takes his glasses off, maybe gives a little wink or two at the ladies. And the ladies are like, what the F is going on? You're blocking my son. Get out of the way. We can't see the water. You're in the way. The ladies are obviously SEC and Big Ten, and the guy is Florida State peacocking around. And this is, it was so clear. This is what it was. It was a signal to the SEC and Big Ten, a public signal of we're ready to get out. We think we can get out of the GOR. Give us an invitation. We'll be ready. The problem is I don't think the Big Ten or the SEC want to get involved in a legal battle that could go on for years and cost a ton of money. Florida State seems ready to do that, but I don't know that those leagues are ready to do that. So that's, yeah, that's the big question is, where do they go? And I think that's a question they have as well. And I think that's why they did exactly what they did today and why they did a similar thing back in February. You remember AD Mike Alford did kind of a similar thing today. It was a little more aggressive, you could say, but he did the same thing back in February. Now, he had some figures and numbers. He did a whole presentation on this, but this is a kind of a public display to the big boys to say, we think we can get out of the GOR. We're ready to get out of it. We just need a spot.
They agreed unanimously to this deal that holds them through 2036 a few years ago. So that's kind of the thing. I get the frustration. They're way behind in finances. The SEC is hitting the gas pedal. And Florida State's got a proud school and all of that. But I do think the question for Florida State and Clemson at this moment is who's the buyer? Obviously, they're two hugely attractive football brands, but look, the Big Ten is looking northwest. They don't want to deal with this grant of right thing, just as Ross said, and lawsuit. Like, they can get these guys for nothing. They get a discount rate. They could go 20 teams. Like, how many more teams are they going to add? And the SEC could add them, but does Florida want Florida State and Miami in their league? Does South Carolina want Clemson in their league? I don't know. Does Tennessee want Clemson in the league? Does Georgia, like, so they're kind of stuck. I feel bad. I get the frustration because if you're anything, you're sitting there going, hey, we deserve, like, by performance historically, I grant you Florida State has not been great lately, but they're looking pretty good this year. We belong. And yet, financially, it's not happening. Now, what I would say to Florida State fan is you're going to be all right. I still think you're going to be all right, but I get the frustration. I don't know what this accomplishes. Totally trashed the ACC. Does it scare Boston College and Syracuse and they throw some more cake? I mean, these guys are gone the moment they can get out. So it's like, clearly, why appease them? Why appease them?
Right. Exactly.
And that's remember, they already changed the revenue distribution model, right? They've changed it. Now, they didn't change it maybe enough. That the
was
Florida
it like
States
the postseason money is going to be different?
It's just the postseason monies, I believe. It's just the performance type based money and not the TV money, which of course is the biggest chunk. So I believe that Mike Alford actually said if you have like the best athletic year, right, in the history of college sports, you'll get like an extra maybe $8 to $10 million. But really, it's probably only going to be $3-5 million, maybe extra a year for somebody who performs really well. And obviously, you're talking about $3-5 million a year when the gap is 30. That's not going to cut it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on realignment?
Good Lord, no.
I hope not. Yeah.
Very quickly. Johnny Manziel. Our our guy, Johnny Football. Uh-oh. No, it's okay, I guess. Okay. He's got the Netflix doc coming out soon. But he is opening a bar. I know, man. He's really stretching himself.
Shocking.
Johnny Manziel's Money Bar. is going to open in College Station.
Perfect.
Will you go next time you're there? Brock?
Yes.
Pat, anyone? Yeah.
Yeah. No,
is it open already?
Yeah. Opening soon, I guess.
I'm going to be there in like 6 days. Come on, Johnny. Open up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth going just to see. Yeah. If Johnny's going to be plastered on the floor or what he's going to be doing. There you go. He's going to be around.
I believe he's not drinking anymore. So that would be good. But will it have that? Remember the swan, the inflatable swan or something? And then the time he had the firework coming out of his mouth? Like, this could be really something. This could be really something. So,
I don't know. If I were not drinking, I don't think I would open a bar, but maybe.
Yeah, that seems like a good recipe to start drinking again.
Might make a buck. I don't, yeah. Sam Malone did it in Cheers. Remember, he was an alcoholic.
True.
So. I mean, I'm trying to go on a low fat diet and open up a burger joint. That's kind of what this is.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing he's probably not working there too much. All right. Anyway, that's our show. That's the Emergency Pod. Appreciate everyone listening. Make sure you listen to episode one and leave us a nice review. Subscribe. This is what we do. We're here for you. Continue to leave us a nice review. Tell your friends about us, and we appreciate you. We will talk. Presumably, this is it for the week. But who the hell knows?
Episode we'll three see. Coming. Return of the Jedi.
We'll be back in like 5 hours. I don't know. Yeah. We will talk to you later.